Well, turn with me again in your Bibles to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and we're reading chapter 2, the first 12 verses of chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Let me just remind you a little bit about the background. Paul had established this church and had only been there for a very short period of time before he was persecuted. In town, and so did not have a long time to teach them all the truths of the Christian doctrine. And unfortunately, you know, when you don't get all the information, sometimes others start to add to it. So a number of people began to speculate about what Paul had taught and added their own thing into it, and very soon the theology of the church was going a little bit wonky. So Paul wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians to try and correct some of the errors that had entered into the church, and they revolved mainly around the second coming of Christ. And then he writes the second book of Thessalonians when, while it seems most people kind of responded to the first letter, there were some in the second letter who didn't respond, hadn't responded yet. So now he's writing to remind them of the importance of the coming of the Lord. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, of course, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord had already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he will set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now, you know what's holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who holds it now, holds it back, will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sent them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but also have delighted in wickedness. Well, I've entitled the message, What's Going to Happen When Jesus Comes Again? Folk, you know, I've often said from this pulpit, and I'll continue to say it, I don't know when Jesus is going to come. Jesus makes it very clear there's only one who knows that date, and that's the Father in heaven. Nobody else knows that date. But as I've said before, one thing we do know, friends, it's one day sooner than yesterday. Jesus is coming again. So what does this passage teach us about when Jesus comes again? First of all, we're reminded that Antichrist will increase. Well, verse 3 says, Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Who's this Antichrist? Well, let me tell you a little bit about him. First of all, there is somebody that Revelation talks about, the beast. The beast will come right at the end of time. But friends, Antichrist is more than just an individual. The key to understanding this passage, friends, is the description of the man of lawlessness also being described as the man doomed to destruction. Who's the man doomed to destruction? Well, that little phrase is only used in one other place in Scripture. It's John chapter 17 and verse 12. And it's talking about Judas. When Jesus says, Father, I have kept all those that you've given to me, except the man doomed to destruction. So friends, we know Judas is not the Antichrist. Although he represents everything that is Antichrist. There will be one who will come right at the end of time. Revelation 13 talks about the beast who will come at that point in time. But friends, stop looking for somebody called Antichrist. Start looking for everything that is Antichrist. Because there is a lot more that is Antichrist than one particular individual. We spend so much time looking for this individual that we forget, friends, that many things are Antichrist. But what else does this passage tell us? It tells us, secondly, friends, that there will be a wholesale rejection of Christ in a grand scale towards the end of time. Look at what verse 4 says. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. You know, reality, friends, is that people of faith are diminishing year after year. Just amongst Christians, 20 years ago, less than 4% of people would have called themselves an agnostic or an atheist. Just 20 years ago. In research recently, friends, more than 38% of people now call themselves atheists. Friends, I'm talking about the Christian population, or churches that are Christian, or countries that are orientated toward Christianity. You only have to look at places like England, where Christianity flourished at one point in time, to realize that less than 4% of the country calls itself Christian these days. England, friends, less than 4% call themselves, or less than 4% of people who go to church. A country that was the basis of missions. Friends, the reality is humans are beginning to replace God with themselves. Humans have become their own gods. You don't need one person to try and be the God, as it talks about in this passage. There is so much, friends, that people are interested in that is replacing God, friends. One just has to think of the beauty industry and all these other industries, the fashion industry. It's all about what you look like, who you are. The reality is more people are interested in their image than they are in the image of God. Even the church, friends, when you listen to a lot of the preaching that is going out from our pulpits today, much of the preaching, friends, is not about the wrath of God or the sovereignty of God or the person of God. Much of the preaching that's going out today, friends, is about, oh, what God can do for you. It's about how God can help you reach your full potential. Friends, preaching has become focused on humans rather than on God himself. Antichrist will increase, friends. Third thing in understanding Antichrist will increase is, friends, evil will begin to prosper in secret, by things done in secret. Friends, the reality is that more and more things are done in secret, done under cover of darkness. Our church, I'll just use our church as an example. In the last 2 months, we have had 6 crime-related elements, or things that have affected us as a church. 6 of them. The first one is they stole the pipes around the back of the Gucci Hall, the water pipes over there. The next one is they came through the back gate and stole the pipes that feed the water into the schoolhouse at the on the side there. The next one was, friends, they tried to steal the hot water pipe that goes from the geyser into our caretaker's house there. Number 3. During this last week, friends, one of the ex-teachers of the school, a young girl called Kanisa Mata, she taught here about 10 years ago, almost exactly the same age as my daughter, was raped and murdered in Dambaza on Old Year's Eve. Her sister works for us in the Busy Bees school. On Thursday, 2 criminals broke through the back of the wall of the church. They broke 2 of the slats of the church to get in. Fortunately, they didn't take anything because all the copper's been stolen already. But yesterday, across the road is the electricity pylon that feeds the church. Criminals on Friday night, friends, stole all the switches in that box. That's why we don't have lights today. Just our church, friends, I had to spend almost 3,000 rand to buy equipment to be able to take electricity from the house at the back to the front here. On Thursday, I spent 5 hours on Thursday replacing the brick, the slats in the wall. Yesterday, we spent about 4 hours here bringing electricity from the house at the back so that at least we could have words and that today. Friends, evil is on the increase. The reality is, even a small church like ours, friends, in 2 months have been affected by 6 different episodes of crime. Number 4, we learn there is much, friends, at the end of a time that will appear to be good, but actually is drawing people away from God. Let me use an example of work. We all know work is a good thing, isn't it? Provides for our family. It keeps us gives us self-worth. There are many things that work does for us. But the world in which we live in, friends, has become work-obsessed. People spend more and more and more time at work and less doing the things that they could be doing. It's no longer working in order to live. It's living in order to work. And there are many things that can fit into that category. And the final illustration that Antichrist, friends, is increasing is that people will rather believe a lie than believing the truth. For years, our educational institutions have been teaching the theory of evolution, that we all came from, who knows, something in the past that happened in what is called the Big Bang theory. But you know, more and more scientists are showing that the chance of there being a Big Bang theory is almost impossible. The reality, friends, is that there was a creation. One child was asked, "Do you believe in the Big Bang theory?" And his answer was, "Yes. There was a big God, and he made things go bang, and the world is here." We need to be like that, friends. The sad reality is that even although more and more scientists are showing that the theory of evolution requires as much faith as the theory of creation, people still hang on to evolution rather than creation. You need a lot of faith to believe in evolution, friends. But why not put your faith in God? There's a simple reason, friends, is that in evolution, you don't have to be accountable to anybody. But in creation, you've got to be accountable to the Creator. And so it's easier to believe in evolution because you don't want to be accountable to God than it is to be interested in creation, which forces you to be accountable to God. So what's going to happen when Jesus comes? Friends, Antichrist will increase. Yes, right at the end of time, just before Jesus comes, the beast will be released on this earth. I don't know how that's going to work out. I'm not worried about that. God knows how that will work out. But friends, one thing we must be aware of, that evil is prospering in the world in which we're living in. Secondly, he has the encouragement from Paul. What's going to happen when Jesus returns? There's one answer, friends. It doesn't matter if evil is increasing. Jesus still wins in the end. Come on, Baptist, a little bit more than that. Jesus still wins in the end. We don't need to be afraid, friends. How do we know Jesus wins? Verse 1 says, concerning the coming of Christ. Friends, just the encouraging thing about it is that the only thing we can be certain of is the second coming of Christ. You can't be certain of everything, anything. Next Saturday, I turn 65. Just telling you well in advance, birthday gifts can be left at my house. Sorry, no, don't worry about that. You know, about a year before I turned 60, I started believing I was going to die. You know why? Every male adult in my family for the last three generations had died before they were 60. Every one of them. My father was 56. My one brother was 50, my other brother was 46, my grandfather was 43. I thought I was going to die when I was, before I got to 60. It really filled my heart with fear. But now I'm about to turn 65, and I'm feeling stronger than ever before, friends. You see, friends, the reality is, I couldn't be sure about my death 5 years ago. I can't even be sure of when I'm going to die. I may still be 80 one day. Who knows? But one thing I know, friends, is Jesus is coming again. There are hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that pointed to the coming of Jesus, and every single one of them came true in the birth of Jesus. But you know, there are more prophecies in the New Testament about the second coming than there were in the Old Testament about the first coming. And if all of the prophecies in the Old Testament about the first coming came true in the coming of Christ, friends, the one thing that we can be certain of is Jesus is coming again. When Paul writes this letter, the NIV translation is very weak here, because the NIV translation says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and us be gathered to him, we ask you, brothers. The Greek, friends, swap those two things around. It starts off with, brothers, concerning the second coming of Christ. What Paul is saying, cats, awake up. He's coming again. Don't be afraid. He is coming again. The second thing we can be encouraged about, the fact that Jesus wins, friends. Let me tell you, when Jesus comes, you will know about it. It's not going to be a small event. He says in verse 2, do not become unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy or report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Isn't it interesting that within the first 20 years of Jesus' death, people were already speculating about when he was going to come? There were already prophets, in inverted commas, those who knew all the truth about the coming of Christ. Friends, our TV screens are full of those people. They can give you every answer about when Jesus is going to come. But let me tell you, is they don't know, friends. The only thing I know is that when Jesus comes, friends, he is going to come with a trumpet call of God. There'll be the shout from heaven that he's coming again. Stop worrying about all of those doomsday preachers, friends. They don't know what they're talking about. Because I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, you will know. During this last week, we've been watching the events unfold in Los Angeles over the last 2 weeks about the fires that have been happening there. Devastating, isn't it? Over 11,000 homes destroyed in those fires. Now, let me ask you, when Jesus comes, or if there was a fire happening in your street, and the firemen came to your house, are you going to have a discussion with a fireman to say, you know, tell me about how fire happens? Explain to me, you know, do you think my house will burn down? When the fireman, friends, comes to your house and says, get out, leave now, or else you will die, You're not going to debate about when you need to leave, friends. You're going to listen to the fireman and you're going to run for the hills. Reality is, friends, when Jesus comes, we will know. Thirdly, friends, and yes, the great encouragement, why I say Jesus wins, friends. In this passage, we are reminded that Satan and his evil forces don't stand a chance against Jesus. How do we know that? Verse 8. When the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will overthrow, how's the Lord going to overthrow him? With the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. With the breath of his mouth, friends. When I was at theological college, I used to share a desk with a wonderful, dear, sweet man. He became one of my closest friends when I was there. But he suffered from halitosis. You know what halitosis is? Bad breath. Every now and then he would come and sit next to me and he would start talking to me. And man, I wished he would. It felt like the breath of the Lord about to kill me. I got very wise to it because I used to take mints with me and keep them in my pockets. So that when he started talking to me, I could smell that particular day wasn't so good. I'll always offer him some mints. Sweeten his breath a little bit. But friends, do you know Satan is going to be destroyed just by Jesus blowing on him? It's so easy, friends. By the breath of his mouth, Satan is of so little significance, friends, is so inconsequential that Jesus is just going to go, and he's gone. Why do we worry about him? Friends, Satan loses. How else does he lose? When Jesus comes in the glory of his holiness, friends, in the presence of holiness, evil cannot exist. And so when Jesus comes in the glory of who he is, Satan is going to run like you'd never know. The only place he can run to, friends, is go to hell. Because there he will be able to hide away from Jesus. Friends, when Jesus comes, Jesus wins. Draw encouragement from that. And finally, what must we do, friends, as we wait for the coming of Jesus? There are two things we need to do. The first thing we need to do, friends, is warn people that Jesus is coming again. Why do we need to warn them, friends? Because, friends, if we don't warn them, they are doomed to destruction. Look what it says in verse 9. The coming of the lawlessness will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all the kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Friends, people who don't know Jesus are perishing. That's the point of this, what Paul is trying to remind us. Friends, those who have not accepted Jesus, who are following the ways of Satan, are dying. Why do they die? They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sent them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Friends, we have a job to do. And the job, friends, is to tell those who don't know Jesus that they are busy dying. One day they will experience eternal death, separation from God forever and ever. But what must we do? Paul says we must do three things. First of all, relax. Verse 2. He says, don't become easily upset or alarmed. Just chill, Christians. Just chill. Jesus is in charge. That's the next thing. Be alert. Verse 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Friends, there are many people who are trying to mislead true believers away from Christ, friends. But be alert as a Christian. Know when you're being misled. And then finally, let me remind you, God has not lost control. Even now, friends, while evil may be increasing, God is still in control. Verse 7 says, the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. This is the restraining power of the Holy Spirit, friends. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to prevent Satan from doing what he wants to do. We don't need to fear, friends. We've got the Holy Spirit within us. And friends, we don't need to fear anything because God is preventing evil from coming our way. Relax. Be alert. God's in control. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready for him? Let me ask you, what are you doing about reaching out to others who are not ready for him? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that in the end you won. Oh Lord, what a joy that is for us to know. There is no fear for us in any way, Lord, because we are on the victory side. We serve a risen Savior, one who has defeated death, the last enemy of man. One who has defeated Satan. For Lord, when you died, the scriptures remind us that we saw Satan fall from heaven. He's defeated already, Lord. Help us, Lord, to redeem others from the ways of the evil one. Help us stand strong against evil so that your victory may be seen even on this side of the grave. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. We're going to sing that song again that we sang a little bit earlier.